Can you hear me now? Oh, okay. When I was singing, I couldn't tell if I was coming out through that or not. Hey, good morning to you all. It's been a while since I've been here. I can't even remember. I remember being here on several occasions, obviously, going all the way back to Pastor Preston Lucas. Back there a ways, isn't it? Yeah, I got to know him and appreciated him, and good friend and all that. I knew Bob Stauffer. I believe he was here for a while. And I'm not sure. There may have been others, I guess, along the way. Pastor List, I have met him, and I've heard him preach because I'm not too far from Bainbridge, a little closer than here, and I was filling in with them also, as I've been all over the map. They asked me whether I'm retired. I said, I retired in 04. That's 21 years ago. And I was 69 then. It makes me 90 now. And I don't have to remind myself too much about that, because as I go through the day, I thought, oh yeah, that's right, I'm 90. I guess I can wobble a little bit, and that's what I tell people. I'm weaker and wobblier. But just a delight to be with you, and kind of interesting that it fit into my schedule. And I've known Pastor List now for quite a while and appreciate his ministry. I get to Bainbridge occasionally, but I'm all over the map. Last Sunday I was at Shope's Bethel. That's up near 22 Harrisburg. Next week I'll be over in Goldsboro. Never preached there, but I think I can find it. And so I think I've told somebody that I think I'm getting pretty close to 30 different Church of Gods that I've filled in for, vacationing pastors and interims and pulpit supplies and so on. And I only came into the Churches of God in 1990. That was a new experience for me, and it's been a good ride. I've valued so much the friendships and opportunities for ministry and all that I've had, and to be used by the Lord is a blessing. Yeah, that's what it says here. I wrote that down across here a month or two ago, before I knew I was even going to be here. But I developed a message from it that I have used once before, and I'll probably use it once again at Goldsboro next week. But I take the message from 2 Timothy and chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 15 and then also verse 21. And I'll read that at this point. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And then verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor. Yeah, my mind, there it is, a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. This, of course, is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, and we're probably very familiar with the verses that have to do with as it reads, if I can find it here, verse 16 of chapter 3, rather, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Occasionally we come across situations where people wonder what happens when a person accepts the Lord and becomes a Christian. What do I do now? Well, I think Paul is pretty clear, particularly when he wrote to the church in Ephesus, that what you do is you do the good work. You do what's required, and that's meaningful to me. And what I have taken out of this passage that I've read is that you and I are to be useful vessels for the Master. I had an idea. I thought maybe I'm going to bring a tin cup or something, but I couldn't find one. And I'm just going to use it as an illustration of a vessel. A vessel is something that you fill in with something that makes that vessel useful, valuable, helpful. You know, it could be the bowl that you place on the table and you put soup in it. And that makes that vessel very useful. Or the coffee cup, you know, with the coffee and the tea and all that kind of thing. And there's just all kinds of vessels that are used around the home. In fact, that's kind of what he says, doesn't he, here? He says, in a large house. Now, I don't know how large your house is or how large mine is as compared, but that's not the important point here. The point is that in houses, there are vessels. Now, I don't know how many of your houses have gold and silver vessels. The best I can claim is silverware, which isn't silver. You know, maybe you have silverware, and that's good. And you may have some gold vessels, and that's good also. But he says there are some vessels that are made of wood. The old oaken bucket, huh? As a wooden vessel. Or earthenware, that would be something that, my wife used to do some work in crafting items from clay. That's earthenware. And so there's all kinds of vessels. Some of the large ships that travel across the ocean, we often refer to them as what? Vessels. Yeah. And other items in our surrounding, in the way of construction and all that kind of thing, could qualify as large vessels. It says some to honor, some to dishonor. The idea would be that some are more valuable than others based upon what they're used for. Pardon me, but I thought of this and I'm going to say it. You ever hear of a thunder bucket? Might call that a vessel of dishonor. It's important, and it has its place and that kind of thing, but then there might be vessels that would be used to transport valuable minerals or other elements used in the home, business, community, and so on. But what Paul is describing for us here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is that he's calling Christians vessels. Christians are people. Christians are believers in Christ. And we are vessels that are ordained to carry important items. Well, when we become a Christian, we do what? We invite Christ into our life. Is there anything more valuable than having Jesus as your personal Savior? I think not. I think not. And so that makes believers vessels of honor, vessels that are useful to the Master. And I think that's just a neat way of looking at ourselves, looking at each other, And, you know, we don't look alike, we don't think alike, we don't eat alike, we don't, you know, on and on it goes. But we have value in that we are a vessel, as it would suggest here, that God himself has ordained, he's placed value upon it. He is delighted when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And at the same time, what he is doing is making us a vessel that can be useful to the master. Well, what are some of the uses that we as vessels have for the master? Some of us stutter, preach, sing, become missionaries, pastors, teachers, givers, a lot of different ways that a believer in Christ can be a useful person for the master. We possibly don't often think of it in this particular way, but I think it's helpful for us to look at it at this angle of our usefulness to the Lord. He says in verse 21 then, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, and he had been, and later on he does describe some things that can contaminate and make a vessel less valuable or important. But he says, if we cleanse them, and that's an important part of being a vessel for the master. We need cleansing. Why? Because, well, Paul says to the Romans, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all born in sin. We're dirty. We're dirty until we commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, invite him into our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes along, and together they seek to help us be a cleansed vessel. And we also are able to be cleansed by fellowshipping with other believers. We are able to be cleansed by attending Sunday school and church and various other ways that we can become familiar with the Word of God. And it's the Word of God, basically, that we hear, we learn, and we acknowledge that we do have a sin nature. We do need the Lord Jesus Christ to give us cleansing. And so we're thankful for the blood that he shed to help us to become a clean vessel. He will then, he says, be a vessel of honor when we are a Christian. Christ is in our life. Then we are able to honor the Lord appropriately. We are doing what he wants us to do and encourages us to do. It's possible, and I was checking on this a little bit, that there are Christians who aren't honorable. Isn't that what it says? Some to honor and some to dishonor. What a disappointment it must be to the Lord when there are those perhaps who accept the Lord, trust him for salvation, but don't allow the continuous cleansing by the Word and by the Spirit. And it's a disappointment, I would say, to the Lord. And so I think as we would view it, we would say the appropriate thing for the Christian is to have a life that's clean so that it can better honor and please our master, the Lord Jesus. That's really the whole concept here. Now, this involves sanctification. That's a big word used there, sanctified, which simply means to be holy. It's the process that the Spirit uses to point out in my life those things that our sin, those things which violate God's law, those things that would displease him. These are items that need to be taken care of. And God has provided for us the blood of Christ, which cleanses from all sin and unrighteousness, Paul tells the people in Rome, and us today, of course. And the intention, of course, from God's point of view, is that we are to be used. It's impossible, really, for a Christian to say there's nothing I can do for the Lord. Everybody is able to do something. Sometimes you need to go to school. I tell people I've had 10 years of post-high school teaching classes, but I don't have a doctor's degree. I never really wanted one. Never felt it was necessary or something that I would, you know, maybe benefit from, and I could be wrong, I suppose, but it's too late now. And we just thank the Lord that I've been able to be useful. I graduated from Moody Bible Institute in 1957. Started out in ministry in January 1958. And that's something like about 68 years, I think, if I can add correctly, that I've had the opportunity to preach and teach and variety of other things in the way of ministry. I can only thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity and the ability and the help that I did receive. Like at Moody, I'd graduated from Dallas Seminary as well, and those were all stepping stones that helped me to have a ministry that was meaningful and I think helped many people in many different ways. It says that we should be prepared for every good work. So, preparation means going to class, studying, learning, reading, applying truth that you discover, allowing the Spirit of God to be your teacher, working through perhaps the pastor, Sunday school teacher, or other persons who are involved in that process. So we are vessels then that are sanctified, and we're useful to the Lord, and we're prepared for good work. And it follows up here with a couple of suggestions that fit into this whole pattern. In verse 22, he says, now, as you engage yourself as a vessel of the Lord, useful to the master, there are times when you need to flee. Why? Well, verse 21 tells us, flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. Okay, I think we understand that. We should also pursue faith, love, and peace with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So this is kind of rounding out, as it were, God's purpose for you and I as a vessel. We're not really living up to the Lord's expectations if we don't allow ourselves as a vessel to be used. To isolate ourselves is not fulfilling that purpose. Getting in with the wrong crowd is certainly detrimental to serving God's purpose. But he says, we do this with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So I get involved in a church. Well, Church of God in Columbia, that's a good place to start, isn't it? I think so. I've not been here that often. But, of course, the body of Christ is a part of what we need to understand as a significant part of the give and the take, the learning and experiencing the things that God would use to help strengthen us and equip us for good work. Yeah, that's the point that comes up in this chapter pretty often. So we need to flee things that would be detrimental because they just don't, they run counter, or they contradict really what it is that God wants to do through us for him. And then he says we need to refuse some things in verse 23. We need to refuse foolish and ignorant speculations. I tried to think of something of the last week that would maybe fit in here, because there's been a lot has happened in this last week. We've had an assassination of a godly man. We've had riots, and we've had things just go haywire. That's what it says. Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels, you know, disagreements, conflict. And Lord knows we've got lots of conflict in our country today, do we not? And we wish we knew what would correct it, what would do it quickly. It's going to take an act of God, I think, and perhaps he can use some of the unrest and conflict that is a part of our nation in 2025 to help maybe turn things around. And I know there's a lot of people and groups that are really praying that there might be a revival in our country. And if there's going to be a revival, where's it going to start? It's going to start with the Christians. Satan isn't going to start it. He'll try to oppose it, but he might go along with it if we're not too sincere or willing to get involved, or, you know, we have a reticence because we don't, we can come up with a lot of excuses perhaps as why we would not want to be in the forefront and helping to move a revival along. Praying, of course, is one of the best ways that a revival can occur, because we are then allowing the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and minds and helping us to sense the urgency for revival in our nation. Trusting that God would then bring about the revival that we so much need. We're supposed to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Boy, they're good qualities. As a pastor, you like to have people in your congregation that fulfill those particular qualities. And that's basically what the church is designed to do. Help people develop these qualities so that they are then able to be useful to the master. It's just interesting how all these concepts sort of tie together and challenge us to be a useful vessel for the Lord. I'm going to finish out reading that chapter just for the benefits that might be there with a comment or two. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Sounds like Paul was writing that for today, doesn't it? He's kind of describing what we sense as really being needy amongst our country. And just praying that there would be those who would be able to teach, patient when wronged. What do you do today if you have a conflict, if you have a disagreement? The high-powered rifle is not the answer. God forbid. That, in fact, would be, I think, the snare of the devil. Having been held captive by him to do his will, that is Satan's will. That kind of really brings things home, does it not? When we think of recent events and how Paul is describing things here. I think also there are two other points that I would make about being useful to the master. That is, upon accepting Jesus as our Savior and becoming a believer, becoming a part of the body of Christ, that one of the things that I need to understand and really make a decision about is that I'm going to make myself available to the Lord. All of us face that at some point, or perhaps many points in our Christian life. You know, there are opportunities for teachers. That's a main part of church ministry today. We need teachers. And I remember when I was 16, I had a pastor at that point come to me about 2 months before vacation Bible school. Guess what he had in mind? He wanted me to be a teacher. Take a class, I think it was, he's either fourth or sixth grade, and I can't remember, it's too far back. But it was a boys' class. And I had that class for vacation Bible school. And there was six or eight boys. And I can remember Teddy Macklin. A fun type of guy. Always getting in trouble, you know? Trying to distract the other boys in the group. Well, anyway, I got through that Bible school that summer. About a month later, the church had a camp for young people down at Tel Hay, down the line a ways, and I was asked to be one of the counselors. For guess who? Same group of boys. And I had Teddy. Teddy was a cool guy. He was almost tall as I was. And he was black and just had a precious, you like to be around him, but he always kept things moving and that kind of thing. But the Lord, you know, the Lord met need in his life, and I'm grateful for that. And so, being available, and I suppose I've been in Bible schools over these 68 years, maybe about 30 of them. When I was pastor, we always had Bible school. I always had a class. And so I was available, and I was usable, meaning that my life was such that God, through the help of his Spirit, enabled me to be the teacher that was needed. And I probably didn't always do the right thing, you know. Maybe it didn't please everybody all the time, but I was available, I was usable, and that's the important thing. That's the important thing. So, this vessel, we've already implied that it needs to be cleansed. And our lives are cleansed when we give our life to Jesus and invite him to be our Savior. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. But that is a process that needs to continue. You know, there's many challenges that we experience as we go through life. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be many ways to get sidetracked, perhaps. But the Lord is patient. He works with us, and he helps us to discover that, yes, he wants to use us. We're valuable to him as a vessel, and he's going to use us. One of the things that I thought of, too, just in sort of closing here, as to what this vessel needs to be filled with, what should we put in it? Well, I'm looking at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. That is when I get turned to it. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Our vessels should become a fruit basket. That's kind of an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? Our vessel can become a fruit basket. And what are the fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. The little chorus that the children sing, isn't it? Something about bushel. Don't come to me. I had the word bushel down. Don't. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine everywhere I go. Da 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 da. This little light of mine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Hey, I got it. Whew. That's kind of interesting to understand that, yes, we are a bushel basket. That's what we could call ourselves as a vessel. And we can fill them with the fruit of the Spirit. And what a great list of items that is. Very, very wonderful. And the Spirit of God helps us to produce these fruits. We won't always be successful. We won't always be on top. But we can trust God to help us be useful to the master. Well, I got a few more things, but I think we can just capture the spirit of what Paul is saying here, that we can be useful to the master as a vessel. No, we're not gold or silver or maybe just plain earthenware. That's all right. I am what I am. God knows what I am. And God will fit a use for us that pleases the Master. I believe that very sincerely. And pray that that would be our desire. Because these are critical days. They're important days. God has a need for us, and let's just offer him ourselves as a vessel. Father, that's our prayer. I know we're a long way in life, and help us not to use the excuse that we're too old, or we don't know how, or whatever the devil might try to use us to avoid being useful to the Lord. Maybe there's just opportunities that will yet come our way. First of all, to share the gospel with those who need salvation. Maybe perhaps to encourage some to give their hearts to the Lord and make themselves available and usable so that God can richly bless them and receive much blessing and praise from it. Accept our praise, our worship, each day, and we'll give thanks for the wonderful Savior that we do serve, and thankful that he finds us useful. In his name we pray. Amen.